It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. DeKalb County's government has struggled with ethics issues for years, and now it has a new ethics officer. The appointment of Stacy Kalberman was part of the ethics reform plan that DeKalb County voters approved last November. Stacy Kalberman joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You said DeKalb County is not unique when it comes to problems with ethics violations and conflicts of interest. Well, that's fairly obvious. But with a CEO and a county commissioner who both went to prison and numerous other indictments and convictions of county government workers, is it fair to say DeKalb may have a unique culture for ethics violations, the culture that Special Investigator Mike Bowers called rotten to the core?
Well, I certainly would not use the term rotten to the core, and I think that disparages all DeKalb County employees, and they do not deserve that badge. However, I will say DeKalb certainly has had its share of issues in the past couple of years. I believe that some of this may be the result of not having an ethics education program in place. And there was an existing ethics board, but the ethics board was not really funded at all. It was all volunteers running the board, which is still the case now. However, in the past, boards were appointed by the commissioners, which in itself, I believe, is a conflict of interest.
Well, there was even the case of one commissioner who nominated someone to the board, then rescinded the nomination. That wasn't all that long ago.
No, that wasn't all that long ago. You are correct.
So is it safe to say that what the voters approved back in November removes that problem?
It does remove that problem because the current board is now appointed purely by those who are not regulated by the board itself. So, for instance, previously the commissioners were regulated by the board, and they also chose the ethics board members. That's not the case today. The ethics board members are all chosen by people who are not regulated by the board. And that, of course, was intentional by the writers of the bill.
So back to the culture. If it wasn't rotten to the core, was there a culture that either winked at, encouraged, somehow tolerated, if not corruption, certainly conflicts of interest?
Well, I don't believe that conflicts of interest were well understood, and perhaps that did bring about a culture where they were tolerated.
Someone might say, though, most conflicts of interest are pretty obvious. If you're a commissioner voting on something that affects your business, that's a conflict of interest. How much education would you need?
Well, not all of conflicts of interest are as apparent as you might assume. And many conflicts of interest were reported in the past. There were many, many instances where folks sought advice and received that advice, and it was the right advice. However, some obviously did not seek the advice, and some intentionally broke the law. And there's just no way around that. So not everything is a simple conflict of interest, but the day-to-day ethical issues that we deal with do deal with conflicts of interest, primarily conflicts of interest, and they have been dealt with in DeKalb in the past. I think they have not always been well understood, and that's my position, is to help really delve into those gray areas and teach the employees and officials of DeKalb County when they need to ask the questions. If you win a door prize, for instance, at some event, can you keep that door prize because the door prize was given by a vendor? Some of these are not such simple questions.
So would your job cover conflicts of interest, like the example that you just gave, or would it also cover theft or, in other words, outright stealing as opposed to something where you're voting on something that maybe you shouldn't? Those are two different things.
That's a very good question. And quite frankly, we do have jurisdiction under our ethics code because obviously stealing from the county is an ethics violation. However, many of those issues are better resolved first by the prosecutor. And we tend to step back until the prosecutor is done with their investigation or they're done with their trial, because the prosecutor has much better resources to investigate these claims, and they have broader subpoena power and so forth. That does not mean that we will not eventually take on that complaint later on or that issue later on for ourselves and say, yes, this is also an ethics violation. So we work hand in hand. Some things don't rise to the level of crime, and they are purely an ethical violation. Some things are both an ethical violation and a crime.
Suspended CEO Burl Ellis was released from prison earlier this year after serving some time on a corruption conviction. Mm-hmm. He is appealing that, however, and there's still a pending ethics complaint against him. So will you be investigating that ethics complaint, or does his conviction and prison time pending appeal sort of make that ethics charge a moot point now?
It's not a moot point, and we have tabled the case. We will hear it once the appeal is complete, or perhaps not hear it, but we will opine on it once it is complete. I don't think we really need to hold a hearing, an evidentiary hearing, but what we might do is issue a sanction of some sort, either a monetary sanction, or we may also issue an opinion stating what was the ethics violation.
But you will wait on that until his appeal runs its course?
Yes, that was the decision that was made at the past ethics board meeting on April 21st, I believe.
Is that ethics complaint covering the ground that was covered by the criminal case against him, or is this a separate issue?
No, it's the same complaint. It is for the same issue that was heard at the trial.
Assume for the moment, this is a hypothetical, but assume for the moment that his appeal is successful. The board could still say, okay, you won your appeal, and it may not be a criminal case anymore, but you could still conceivably be sanctioned for an ethics violation.
Yes, that's true. Hypothetically, yes, that's true.
Just this week, you told the ethics board that initial ethics complaints might not have to be disclosed to the public under the State Open Records Act. Why did you say that?
That's not quite what I said.
Okay.
I said that it might be worthwhile for us to hold on to the ethics complaint until the next ethics meeting. And I believed, based on past advice from the Attorney General's office, that the complaint could be considered part of the investigatory file. We have just received some advice from the Attorney General's office, which may change that thought. And the only reason we wanted to keep the complaint for a couple of weeks as part of the investigatory file is because we like to, and it is really better for us to review the complaint to determine jurisdiction, first of all, and to determine if the complaint has any merit. Unfortunately, people use the ethics offices as political tools, and there are, on occasion, complaints that are filed purely for political reasons.
Yeah, you see it in campaigns all the time.
Exactly.
So-and-so files a complaint against an opponent and then says, oh, there are ethics complaints filed against my opponent.
Yes.
Not saying that I was the one that filed them. Something
yes.
like that. What advice did you get from the Attorney General?
There is no publicly issued advice, like an advisory opinion, something like that, but that they would probably not consider it to be part of the investigatory file. And so I have sent that information to the board, and they will make the decision as to whether we'll release the initial complaints as an open records, as part of an open records request.
In other words, does the bottom line mean that someone could obtain that via open records just as they have in the past?
Yes, based on the advice of the Attorney General.
And the board will make that decision based on the new advice from the Attorney General sometime soon, correct?
Yes.
And when will that be, do you know?
I don't, but I'm sure it will be fairly shortly.
In addition to the pending complaint against the suspended CEO, Mr. Ellis, there's mm-hmm. a complaint against former County Commissioner Stan Watson, who's now running for tax commissioner, but he's not a county commissioner right now. So does that, the fact that he's out of office, does the complaint end because he's out of office?
We just took that issue up on Thursday, the 21st, when we had our board meeting. And the board considered that regardless of whether somebody continues to be an official or an employee of DeKalb County, that the ethics complaint would continue.
Because that's different from what Congress does. If a congressman leaves office or a congresswoman leaves office, the ethics complaint against them goes away.
And that is true. And we know some officials in Georgia who have taken advantage of that. However, in the Congressional Ethics Code, they specifically state that the jurisdiction ends when that person leaves office. That may be because one of the sanctions is to remove somebody from office. So if somebody leaves, you no longer have that sanction of removing them from office. I'm not sure. I've never looked at the code closely enough, the Congressional Ethics Code, to determine whether they actually levy penalties, monetary penalties as well.
What's the array of possible sanctions that the board has the power to impose?
There is a penalty. There's a monetary fine of up to $1,000 for a violation of the ethics code. And there is, of course, the censure. I don't believe...
But not removal from office.
No,
no
longer.
The ethics board can't do that.
No. The ethics board did in the previous code, the 1992 code, was permitted to remove somebody from office. The new code only permits a fine. However, I truly believe that the important work of the ethics boards is to bring about transparency. So if we uncover conflicts of interest that were either intentional or so blatant that they could not be ignored, I believe, and we hear them and we give somebody a fair hearing, I believe that we've done our job. Because then the public knows, it is information for the public, that this is a person who does not respect their position as an official. So that really is the greatest sanction of all, in my eyes, is the information to the public saying this person is not acting in the public's best interest, but is acting for their own self-interest.
Is that enough of a sanction, really, since one could argue, okay, how many people really pay attention to the proceedings of the ethics board? So someone might risk, you know, a little embarrassment by the ethics board because most county voters won't be aware of it, and that what office holders really pay attention to is a heavy fine or something that would affect their standing in office. And you aren't able to give a big fine, and you can't remove somebody from office.
I believe that those who are truly concerned about their governments will hopefully make an educated vote. I'm not so naive that I believe everybody reads the news, because I know they don't. But my hope is that we can educate the voters as to the intentions of the officials who are running. Do the officials act in a way that is for the best interests of the citizens and the county itself, or do they act in a way that is self-dealing? And really all we can do is educate the voters. I'm not sure that the fines make as much of a difference as we think they do.
Why don't you think so?
Because I believe the real issue is not so much the fines, but the embarrassment to the reputation.
There's a backlog of complaints, too, right now because of the ongoing issues with the county ethics board. How are you going to attack that, especially since it's pretty much just you on the staff?
I think you're going to be pretty amazed at how quickly we go through those. We have every intention of getting through those in an expedited manner. I do have help from investigators and others. And We will get that backlog under control.
You have the resources to do that, do you think?
We are good for now. We will need greater resources in the future.
How big is your budget right now?
Approximately $300,000.
$300,000 for this fiscal year?
For this 2016 fiscal year.
$300,000 sounds like a lot, but with the backlog of complaints and the legwork required to investigate them, is that going to be enough?
Well, some of these complaints have already been tried in court, and some of these people who have complaints against them have testified in court. So we may not even have to hold evidentiary hearings because they've already testified. These folks have already testified under oath. If the complaints that we're going to hear, if the respondents want to have their cases heard, we can certainly do that over again. Or we can talk to them about relying on their previous testimony.
Can you forward your findings on to prosecutors if the findings rise to the level where you think, okay, something criminal happened here?
So in other words, a new case that we might receive.
Yeah, a new case you might receive.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you have that relationship with the DA's office, let's say.
We're building it.
Okay. Does it matter who the DA is? Because obviously that's a job that's up for election this year.
To me, it doesn't matter who the DA is.
What kinds of power will you have in the investigations? I mean, do you have subpoena power, for instance, for witnesses or records?
We do have subpoena power for both witnesses and records. And we do have the ability to fine those individuals who ignore our subpoenas.
How big are those fines?
$1,000.
What would you say to somebody who says some folks who might be into something that they shouldn't be are certainly going to risk a $1,000 fine, that in the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot of money for somebody who might be risking something a whole lot more if they comply with the subpoena?
Well, I'm sure that it will be public knowledge that they haven't complied with the subpoena. So we have that power as well.
It's, again, a kind of the power of embarrassment?
I believe so.
Why is it that you think the power of embarrassment is so great? I mean, in a county that's as big as DeKalb, with as many voters who, for better or worse, don't pay attention and aren't likely to bring the embarrassment upon somebody, why do you think the power of embarrassment is so great?
I don't think it's the be-all and end-all. However, it is still a powerful tool. It's the tool we have, and it's what we'll work with.
And that goes to the intent of the people who pass the laws and so forth. I mean, obviously, you have to play the hand you're dealt. Do you think that, whether it's the county, the state, whatever, that government officials who pass these laws or who send them to the public don't really want them to be as potent as they could be, that window dressing is more important than actual teeth when it comes to this?
I believe that in other ethics laws and past ethics laws, that has been the truth. I believed that at the state level, that that in some ways the State Ethics Commission was just window dressing, which is why I probably got myself in trouble. but I don't necessarily believe in, and it may have been a compromise. I have not looked. Obviously, we did have the power to take somebody out of office previously, and I don't understand the legislative history behind why it was turned to a fine. And so I can't say that it was a compromise or it was not a compromise. I really can't answer that question.
Speaking of the state, you won a $700,000 judgment in a very high-profile lawsuit in which you alleged you were forced from your job as the chief of the state ethics panel, and the jury agreed with you because you said you continued to investigate Governor Deal's 2010 campaign. Now, the state ethics process has gone through a few changes since then, but do you think it's any better or more effective now, or is it less so?
I don't think the State Commission will be truly effective until the conflicts of interest are taken out of the commission itself.
Because?
Because all of the board members are appointed by the government officials that they regulate. That's an inherent conflict of interest. And until that problem is resolved, and until the legislature does not have the ability to yank their budget out when they don't like what the State Ethics Commission is doing, or the ability to tell them they can't write their own rules and regulations, I don't think they will truly be a functioning ethics commission or one that has the power to bring about the results that the bring about the change that's needed for the State Ethics Commission.
Well, the appointment question could certainly be resolved by the legislature by just having somebody else or some buddies else appoint the members of the State Commission. But when it comes to the budget, I mean, it's a state agency. It's hard to say, oh, you're a state agency, so the legislature can't fix your budget.
Other states do it. Other states have state ethics commissions that are funded as a percentage of the budget so that the legislators cannot on a whim take or use as a political tool the budget of the State Ethics Commission. So that is a resolvable problem.
Governor Deal has denied that he was involved in the decision to remove you. I've asked him about that. Many other reporters have. Did you think he was involved at the time, and do you think so now?
I'm just going to use a term that we learn in law school. It's called res ipsa loquitur, which means the thing speaks for itself. And that's all I'll really say on the issue. That, and I believe I am the only person who has ever won a whistleblower suit against the state. So, res ipsa.
You've said that while enforcement is one part of your job in DeKalb, preventing problems through education is a major component, too. And you've already alluded to educating the public. You've got only a certain amount of time and resources. So how much do you know how much you'll spend on education versus enforcement?
Well, we're currently in the process of getting bids on both websites as well as e-learning tools. And so we've got about 5,000 employees, and that's a lot of people to reach. And my hope is to do most of the education by or through an e-learning tool, because it really is the only way I can reach everybody. And I'm hoping to have annual education, so follow-up education as well as initial ethics education.
Would you like to see the ethics board or some authority in the future be able to go back to the penalty of removal from office? Or do you think that the system we have now, where if there's a criminal conviction, it goes to the governor and he or she decides, that that's enough?
I'm going to reserve my opinion on that for right now. Ask me in a year.
How come?
I want some time to think about it. I want to see how things work out. I want to see what changes we can make. And I believe that we truly can.
What is your goal for a year from now?
My goal from a year from now is to have an educational program in place that all employees are required to take. It is also our goal to have pledges signed by every DeKalb County employee and official saying that they understand the importance of ethics and that is their pledge that they will follow the ethics code. I'm also hoping to get some other – to implement some other processes so that all contractors must – file semi-annual reports with us, reporting or disclosing every gift that they make to any employee or any meal that they pay for, sort of like what lobbyists do on their disclosure forms. And we have a lot of other ideas that we really think will bring about a culture of ethics to DeKalb and bring about an awareness. And I think I feel like I will have succeeded when people start coming to me with their questions, when they know what questions to ask, and they come to me with those questions and we get them resolved ahead of time. That is when I believe I will feel that I've made an impact.
Because you've just now talked about education, enforcement, and investigative tools, really.
Mm-hmm.
Will you have the resources to do all that? Do you have them now?
We're assessing that. I mean, obviously, we're not going to be able to survive on the budget we have for years to come.
What would you like to see? Do you have a target figure?
I don't have a target figure right now. I would like to hire some more folks to help in the ethics office. The city of Atlanta has 4 people working full-time in their ethics office, and they have about the same amount of employees. So if I ever get to the point where I'm financed as well as the city of Atlanta, I think I'll be happy.
So the ethics board would have to go to the county commission to get the budget approved?
That is correct.
So aren't we right back to the problem that you've talked about before with the state, where the people who might fall under the regulators are approving the regulators' budget?
Well, we'll take advantage of the emergency we have, or, you know, the past several years of events to ask for increased budgets.
And you think that the bad publicity of the past will be enough to ensure a little more resources for the future?
Well, I don't know ensure is the word, but it will surely help.
You'll use that leverage if you have to.
I'm not even sure I have to. I'm not naive about what goes on in politics, but I truly believe that we can make a difference, and I truly believe we will make a difference. And I also believe that the people who work in DeKalb, for the everyday employees in DeKalb, that 99% of them want to do the right thing. I truly believe that. And some people would think I was naive, particularly after what I have been through. But I think most people want to do the right thing. And we just have to teach them some of the questions they need to ask, the awareness and the education. And it will come. I truly believe it will come. And I also want to say, and I said this during my interview, I feel very passionately about this issue of ethics. And the reason I do is because ethics is the bulwark of a functioning democracy. You cannot have a functioning democracy. You cannot have citizenry who believes in their government without the belief that their government is acting in their best interests. If people don't believe that their government is acting in their best interest, or at least attempting to, then you truly can't have a functioning democracy. And so I think that ethics is something that can't be overlooked. And I think all counties and all states should have strong ethics commissions.
Stacy Kalberman is the new ethics officer for DeKalb County. She formerly headed what was often called the State Ethics Commission, but which had a much longer title. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll check back with you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.